A different future starts with you. That's why GoDaddy does more than help you find a name. You can create, sell, and get found online so any small business can make a change. We need a new generation of thinking. Your way of thinking. Start different at GoDaddy.com.
It's the Innovation Podcast with Mark Reed Edwards and Garnett Harriman. Let's start the show.
Hi, it's Mark. We're in for a treat. We've got Professor Francesca Gino, the Tandon Family Professor of Business Administration in the Negotiation, Organizations, and Markets Unit at Harvard Business School. Francesca is here to discuss her latest book, Rebel Talent. This is from the dust jacket of Rebel Talent. Rebels have a bad reputation. We think of them as troublemakers, outcasts, contrarians. Those colleagues, friends, and family members who complicate seemingly straightforward decisions, create chaos, and disagree when everyone else is in agreement. But in truth, rebels are also those among us who change the world for the better with their unconventional outlooks. Instead of clinging to what is safe and familiar and falling back on routines and tradition, rebels defy the status quo. They are masters of innovation and reinvention, and they have a lot to teach us. So, let's learn. Well, Francesca Gino, welcome. It's great to have you here.
It's so nice to be here. Thank you for having me.
So, let's cut to the chase. What is a rebel?
Rebels are people who break the rules that hold them and others back, and they do so in a way that is constructive and positive for themselves and for the organizations that they work for. So one example that comes to mind is the example of a 3 Michelin star chef and owner of a restaurant called Osteria Francescana. It's the restaurant that in 2016 became the best restaurant in the world, and they were back at the top of the list in 2018. Here you have a person who went to traditional Italian dishes and decided to reinvent them. So he studied traditions pretty carefully, but then asked, why is it that we cook the dish this way? Maybe it made sense 20 or 30 years ago, but not today. And so he created positive change and he reached success by questioning the status quo, questioning existing traditions in a context where I would say it's tough to produce change, given that most Italians really cherish their old ways.
Yeah. Have you had this food?
I did have this food. Yep. I visited the restaurant. I was really intrigued by his story. And so I ended up visiting the restaurant in the hope of writing a Harvard Business School case study on him. And I was struck by what I saw at the restaurant. His recipes are very, very creative and quite an innovative way to put a spin on traditional Italian dishes. And his leadership is a great example of what I would call rebel leadership. Yeah. So,
are they different ingredients? Are they different cooking methods? What goes into it?
So he's very experimental with both techniques and ingredients. So sometimes it's about the technique that is used to cook a dish that is very different from how traditionally it had been done. But it's also thinking through how you put different ingredients together.
Yeah.
And then the look of the dish is very, very different from the original one.
So it's plated differently.
It's playful. So there is a dish called the crunchy part of the lasagna, and it looks like a scorched Italian flag put on a on a plate with a lot of cream and bechamel. It doesn't look anything like a lasagna if you ever had one, but it's delicious, and it almost makes you smile as you're eating it. And you have these images, for me, of being a child and trying to steal the corner of the lasagna, which is usually the crunchy and burnt part.
That's the best part.
Yeah, exactly. It's the best part of the lasagna.
How can rebels help a company embrace innovation and do things differently? Obviously, this restaurateur kind of controls the whole thing, right? So he was able to say, well, we're going to do it this way. But if you're in a company, maybe locked in a little bit of bureaucracy, how can you unleash your inner rebel, I guess, is the question.
Yeah. So in my journey, which took about 10, 15 years really of studying successful rebels and businesses that really encourage rebelliousness, I was able to identify what I call the 5 talents that these rebels seem to have, no matter what industry or what jobs they seem to hold. And what I would say to people who are interested in getting started on this rebel journey is to try to look at these talents and use them more often. So the talents are the desire for novelty. So rather than going for what's comfortable and familiar, really pushing ourselves, stretching to do things that are new, a talent for curiosity. So rather than taking traditions, existing processes for granted, is approaching life and work with that type of sense of wonder that we had when we were little children. Then there is the talent for perspective. And what that means is coming to problems and situations, and rather than looking at them from just one angle, which is usually our perspective, to be broader in the way we think about the different perspectives and views that can be used for a single problem. And then there is a talent for authenticity. So rather than conforming with what others are doing or thinking, just to bring out our contributions. And finally, there is the talent for diversity. So rather than accepting social roles that are passed on to us, fighting against those and making sure that we don't use stereotypical judgment in the work that we do, and we can really leverage the differences between ourselves and others.
So I want to get a little technical. So what is positive deviance?
Positive deviance is breaking rules in a way that is constructive and positive for the organization. It means that, for example, you're questioning the status quo, you're questioning existing traditions and procedures, and you are able to come up with something that is fundamentally better. So if we go back to the chef that I mentioned earlier, Massimo Bottura, he was able to come up with new version of traditional Italian dishes that are really delicious and contributed to him getting to the top of the list in terms of his restaurant being the best restaurant in the world. So is not accepting the status quo, not accepting what comes to us naturally because we are human beings, fighting against those norms, those rules in a way that leads to better outcomes, more innovation, better performance, and more engaged individuals at work.
Yeah, so what's more important for a rebel? And maybe the chef is a good example here. Is it raw talent or just the lost art of listening? Because he probably has incredible talent as a chef, but did he create those new recipes in a vacuum, or did he listen to someone? Did he listen to his patrons at his restaurant?
So perspective is an important ingredient of the rebels, because perspective means that you're open to listening to others' ideas and considering their views rather than just your own. And more than that, rebels are people who are really hungry for learning. There are people who look at their experience and say, well, that means that there is more for me to learn. One of the rebels that I met that is really remarkable is the captain who ended up on a cold evening back in 2009 ditching a plane with 155 passengers in the Hudson River.
Sully.
Now, he's very well known for all sorts of good reasons. But I first met him before he became so well known because I found myself reading the accident report. So you can actually see the conversations as they were happening on the plane at the time of the accident. And what struck me is that you had a captain who had 208 seconds. That's the time that he had to make a decision. It was the time between when he discovered that there was no thrust in the engine and the time he ditched the plane in the Hudson River. Most of us, under such pressure, both in terms of times and also stress, given that he had 155 passengers with him on the plane, would narrow our way of thinking, would go to the most obvious answer, which probably in his case would have been to land at the closest airport. And he didn't. He kept considering multiple options, all sorts of alternatives. And he worked with his crew to be able to do that, as well as the air controller in New York. And after reading the accident report, I reached out to him. I was fascinated by his story. And what I discovered is that by the time the accident happened, this captain had a ton of experience under his belt. He had over 30,000 hours of flying experience. He served in the military, so he had all sorts of knowledge about all sorts of planes. He had served as a volunteer to study previous accidents, so he had quite a bit of information about what can go wrong on a plane. And yet, every time he walked into the cockpit, he would ask himself what it is that could be different here. So he was able to have that humility, despite all the experience he had accumulated, to say, what's left to learn? And it's a really interesting approach that allows us to have perspective, to come into situation open-minded. And that is an important ingredient of what makes Rebels successful.
And in the movie about that, you see the kind of reconstruction in the debrief mm-hmm. where the simulation said he should have gone to Teterboro.
Yeah.
But they didn't take into account what they were going through in the cockpit at the time.
Exactly.
And that they were able to make decisions that were more logical for that situation that the simulation doesn't take into account.
Exactly. And it's decisions that were more logical, but also rather creative.
Yeah.
If you think about it, it was almost looking at the river as a really long runway that was not busy with many boats. And so he thought it could be a safe spot for him to land.
Yeah, I guess it's there was an element of luck there
mm-hmm.
that the water wasn't choppy, that there wasn't a lot of traffic on the river, but
yeah,
you know, you make your own luck, I guess, in that kind of situation.
And as I said, what struck me about his story is his ability, especially under such a pressure, to still have perspective and consider multiple options where many of us would have just considered one.
Right, right. So can anybody be a rebel?
Absolutely. I'm still learning how to be an effective one. I created a test that I put online and it's free. It's called the Rebel Test. So for people who visit rebeltalents.org, and if you have 7 or 8 minutes, take the test, and it's going to give you a little bit of a feedback on which talents come more naturally to use.
Yeah.
And if people come out as pirate, it's a very good thing.
I'll have to take that. So it's got 7 days or 7 steps, right?
So that is another document that I created. I was very interested in making sure that people not only read the book, but also approach their life a little bit differently. So I created a document that is called 7 Days of Rule Breaking. And I tried it out. It was very rewarding. And if you're like me, after you try the rebel life, you won't want to go back.
It's kind of like the Atkins diet for rebellion. Is that it?
Exactly. Exactly. A few ideas on what to try each day.
And is that at rebeltalents.org as well?
Yeah, exactly.
So can you be a rebel if you don't first achieve a certain level of mastery over whatever is the norm? Can you instantly be a rebel in your chosen profession, or do you have to wait a while?
What's important, independent on how big your job title is, what is important is to study traditions, if you will. I call, in the book, I talk about this idea of thriving at the basics, to make sure that you're not just being disruptive for the sake of being disruptive, but you actually look and study the situations that you want to change. I think that's quite important because rebels are not people who break the rules just for the sake of breaking rules. They're people who break rules that hold them and others back in a way that is positive and constructive.
And that requires a level of mastery of whatever it is that you're rebelling against.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah. Which of your 8 principles of rebel leadership is the most important to you? And my co-host on the Innovation Podcast, Garnett Harriman, is partial to the self-revelation one. And how does that work and why is it important?
So the self-revelation principle is a principle that builds on the idea that often we shy away from showing others our imperfections or our weaknesses, especially when we are in a position of leadership. We have this idea that we need to show others that we're perfect. And what we don't consider is that by actually talking to others about our failures, our weaknesses, by showing an image that is not a perfect one, we're showing an image that is probably more realistic. And so it's easier for others to connect with us and to think of us as human beings fundamentally, people they not only respect, but they want to connect to. So there is a moment in the book where I talk about an important evening in the life of a basketball coach. His name is Mauricio Cheeks, and the evening that I talk about is the evening of April 23 of 2003, where he found himself in a very big arena with 20,000 fans, millions of viewers watching the game from home, and he was there for an important game for his team. And what is interesting is that if you put yourself in the shoes of this coach, he was probably anxious, excited, ready to really pay attention to what his team was going to do to give them good feedback and coaching throughout the game. But right before the game started, there is a girl who's about 14 who walks into the arena and starts singing the national anthem. And by the time she gets to line two of the songs, it's clear that she's not remembering the words. And if you were to watch the video, you would see him walk right towards her.
It's quite a video. I've seen it.
It is quite a video. And then for the entire song, he stays there with his arms around her shoulders, helping her sing through the song. And if you pay attention, his voice is not good at all. It's really impressive what he did, but his voice is not good at all. And yet, nobody cares. By the end of the song, everybody's singing, no matter who you're there to root for. And it's a great example of a person who made himself vulnerable in front of thousands of viewers, millions of fans, and it paid off because our level of respect for him is much higher because of what he did. So revealing ourselves, being willing to talk about our weaknesses and failures is so powerful.
Talking about your weaknesses and failures is a strength.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
The ability to admit that and to make yourself vulnerable can make you stronger.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, we have the wrong idea about just that. So when given the opportunity, we often shy away from making ourselves vulnerable, when in fact, there are benefits to it.
Yeah, because we all are vulnerable.
Mm-hmm.
We're human beings. We're not Vulcans.
Right? Exactly.
So as you look ahead to 2019, we're early enough in the year where we can still talk about 2019 as something that's coming. Are there any trends you're following or developments you're anticipating for this year?
I was looking actually at some data by the Gallup organizations, and it's supported by other surveys that have been done on the future of work, if you will, and the type of characteristics that seems to be becoming even more important for employees and leaders. And I was struck by the fact that very up top in the list, in fact, I think it was first in a couple of the surveys that were conducted, there is creativity and innovative way of thinking. And so it's interesting that that seems to be such an important aspect of the type of talent that organizations need to be competitive. And so I'm hoping that rebels and rebelliousness are going to be more encouraged going forward by all sorts of organizations.
It's interesting at companies like Google, I know specifically Google, they don't look at college degrees as much as they used to. Colleges are kind of starting to ignore the SAT. They're looking at the person, and that's kind of what that's about. It's about looking at the human being.
Yeah, it's not just the experience. It's experience plus the attitude that you have, your willingness to bring your contributions forward, your willingness to suggest ideas when everybody else is agreeing for a certain course of action. Absolutely.
And some of the greatest minds in technology, you know, were comparative literature majors. So it's not always the college that prepares you, it's your life that prepares you.
It's your life and it's the breadth of the experiences that you have. I was reading some recent research that shows that CEOs who have a broad experience in terms of what they've accumulated throughout the years in their careers tend to lead companies that end up being more innovative than their counterpart CEOs whose experience is more narrow.
Yeah. Steve Jobs comes to mind as someone who had a very kind of vast interest in the world and took every bit of that into creating products at Apple.
Yeah. And you can think of very simple ways to broaden people's experiences and perspectives. At the restaurant I mentioned in the book, Osteria Francescana, one of the things that the chef and owner does is asking different people to cook the staff meal during each of the day of work. And what is doing is basically showing people that you can use the same ingredients in many different ways, since his staff is very diverse, as with people all the way from Japan to Canada, Mexico. And so the same ingredients ends up in a dish in very different ways.
It's kind of like a piano has 88 keys and you can use it in a number, any number of ways.
Exactly.
Well, Francesca, thanks for being with me today. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me, Mark.
Thanks to Francesca for being with us today. Coming in the weeks ahead, we'll chat with experts about esports, F1, facial recognition, and more. And next time, Garnett and I talk with Kai Stinchcomb, founder of TrueLink Financial, about elder tech and blockchain. So stay with us.
Thanks for joining Garnett and Mark on the Innovation Podcast. Visit innovationpodcast.co to subscribe and listen to other episodes.